Welcome to the Paul to Timothy Institute podcast. I'm Dr. Mike Oney. Today we are in a series simply titled Destiny. This is part three. Let me give you the flow of it, all four areas that we're covering. Number one, about your destiny, what do you have to know? And then what do you have to discern? Thirdly, what do you have to do? And that's what we're going to talk about today. The next time we're together, we'll talk about what do you have to protect? So there really is a flow to people, you and I, and in helping others enter into finding and fulfilling their individual destiny in the Lord. Firstly, they really have to know that God has chosen them. Secondarily, they really need to discern what the Holy Spirit is doing now in their lives. Thirdly, they've got to take some baby steps. These are faith steps, to begin responding to the present emphasis of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that today. The next one that we're going to do is they will have to protect what God is birthing through their lives. In other words, they can't just initiate it. They have to also protect. It is a scary thing to me when you realize in Scripture that Jesus said very clearly in multiple contexts that there are a number of people that ruin their own destiny, mitigate their own destiny, and that is scary to me. Matthew 22, verse 14, Jesus wrapped up a parable that was entirely focused on why individuals fail to become the chosen, fail to enter into their destiny. Matthew 22, 14 is often quoted. It is a short verse that says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Today, we will look at the first steps of entering into our destiny. So when we have a theological foundation that, hey, God has chosen us, He has chosen us to be significant and we matter, we move into discerning what He is doing now. And today we're focusing on what do we have to do initially? What are our faith steps to enter into that? Victor Hugo, the author of Les Miserables, said, "It is nothing to die. It is frightful not to live." That moves me. Faith is our entry point, and knowing what the baby steps of faith are will help us connect with this entry point into destiny. Think about the rich young ruler. Matthew, Mark, and Luke each tell this story. And in that story of an individual that came to Jesus and said, "What do I need to do in order to enter into the kingdom, to be saved?" And Jesus said, "Keep the commandments." He said, "I've kept them." Now, you know he hadn't, but he was a good guy. And then Jesus said, "You just lack one thing." Think about that. Jesus gave him one thing, an entry point. What was it? For him, it was releasing the security that he had found through his money and possessions. Jesus said, "Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me." That is your entry point, Jesus told the rich young ruler. Can I share with you? Every single individual, you and I, when God is doing something new in our lives, there is an entry point. And that entry point always involves faith. Let's talk about three characteristics of the faith that allows us to take hold and enter into that entry point of our destiny, of what God is wanting to do now. The first step of your destiny is to believe. This is the first baby step of faith. You've got to believe that God is able to get you there. Luke 8, verses 11 and 12, Jesus explaining to his disciples the parable of the sower said this, "The seed is the word of God." It's God's voice into your life. Verse 12, "The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved." Why can't they enter into the destiny God has for them? They don't believe it. they don't believe that God has spoken to them or simply that God can get them there. The first step of faith to your destiny is to believe that God can take you from where you are now to where He wants you to be. I know that that's a major stretch when people are making huge life changes. Let me just tell you, it is typically impossible to see in reality of how in the world can I go from where I am right now with my responsibilities right now into this sense of destiny. It just doesn't fit. And yet God asks us to believe in Him more than our perceived potential. Chuck Swindoll, in his book, Saying It Well, said, "A clear sense of calling rarely comes with a detailed plan. In most cases, God supplies only one detail, the next step." He went on to say that, consequently, some never fulfill their calling. Those who do embrace their calling as more than a pipe dream sometimes fail to take the first step because they do not trust their own instincts or do not trust God to sustain them along their journey. What's the first baby step of faith into your destiny? And when you're helping other leaders and they don't see it, they don't see how these dots could ever connect, because of where they've been and where they are. You got to help them believe in God's ability to get them there so that they will hold on to that destiny vision in their heart. Let me give you the second baby step of faith. It's this. The second step of faith, by the way, all three of these points of baby steps of faith, they're all derived from the parable of the sower, which again is about how people can take hold of the voice of God and allow the voice of God to bring the reality of what He wants into their life. Second baby step of faith to destiny is to accept that God is asking you and I to make major changes now. Jesus said in Luke 8:13, "And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But they have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away." When God begins a new work in your life or in my life or in the leaders' lives or an individual's life that you're working and coming alongside, we and they will soon thereafter face major consequences in our life. You know, the first thing that we have to do on our baby step of faith is believe in God. Hebrews 11:1, isn't it? "Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen." Do you catch that emphasis in Hebrews 11:1? Not our past, not our present abilities, not our sense of potential, but faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. But in the second step of faith, there are major changes that have to be embraced. In other words, God said, "If you believe me, I need you to initiate with this." And that was the rich young ruler's focus. Jesus came to him and said, "Let me tell you your entry point. You have an entry point. I have an entry point. When there is a new season, something new that God is birthing in our lives, there is an entry point." Jesus said, "Some fall away because they're not willing to suffer and pay the price for that entry point." Obviously, the rich young ruler's issue. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that when we come to God, we not only have to believe that He is, but that He is a rewarder of those that pursue Him. In other words, we have to move from saying that God is able to saying, "God, I will follow." He rewards those who are willing to embrace the major points of change, their entry point. C.S. Lewis's book, The Great Divorce, not as well known as some of his other books like the Chronicles of Narnia. In The Great Divorce, he uses an allegory similar to the Chronicles of Narnia, but in The Great Divorce, he actually talks about ghost becoming substantial. I know it's a little bit outside of the box thinking. It's an allegory. And the way he uses ghost is people that have not entered into the substance of who they are to be for God. They don't have substance. They're not solid yet. And as the allegory continues, he talks about this process of change that they come through. And in one point of the book, it's quite a telling experience. There is a ghost. Keep in mind, this is an individual that really hasn't found their place yet in the kingdom. And there is this red lizard that is speaking to them in their ear, sitting on their shoulder, telling them that they should not accept the entry point that God is speaking to them about for them to become substantial. And now there's an angel talking to the individual, the ghost, that needs to become substantial. And the angel is telling them that if you want, I can make that lizard hush up. Can I read to you the section? It's quite entertaining to me, but now that you have the context of the allegory, listen to C.S. Lewis as he describes an individual that is becoming substantial in the kingdom. The angel looks at the ghost and says, "Would you like me to make him be quiet?" said the flaming spirit. "An angel, as I now understood, of course I would," said the ghost. "Then I will kill him," said the angel, taking a step forward. "Oh, look out, you're burning me. Keep away," said the ghost, retreating. "Don't you want him killed?" said the angel. "You didn't say anything about killing him at first. I hardly meant to bother you with something so drastic as that." "It's the only way," said the angel, whose burning hands were now very close to the lizard. "Shall I kill it?" "Well, that's a further question. I'm quite open to consider it, but it's a new point, isn't it? I mean, for the moment, I was only thinking about silencing it," said the ghost. "May I kill it?" asked the angel. "Well, there's time to discuss that later," said the ghost. "There is no time. May I kill it?" "Please, I never meant to be such a nuisance. Please, really, don't bother. Look, it's gone to sleep of its own accord. I'm sure it will be all right now. Thanks ever so much. May I kill it?" "Honestly, I don't think there's the slightest necessity for that. I'm sure I shall be able to keep it in order now. I think the gradual process would be far better than killing it," said the ghost. "The gradual process is no use at all." "Don't you think so? Well, I'll think over what you've said very carefully. I honestly will. In fact, I'd let you kill it now, but as a matter of fact, I'm not feeling frightfully well today. It would be silly to do it now. I'd need to be in good health for the operation. Some other day, perhaps." "There is no other day. All days are present now." "Get back, you're burning me. How can I tell you to kill it? You'd kill me if you did." "It is not so." "Why, you're hurting me now. I never said it wouldn't hurt you. I said it wouldn't kill you." The angel's hands were almost closed on the lizard, but not quite. Then the lizard began chattering to the ghost so loud that even I could hear what it was saying. "Be careful," it said. "He can do what he says. He can kill me. One fatal word from you and he will. Then you'll be without me forever. It's not natural. How could you live? You'd only be a sort of ghost, not a real man as you are now. He doesn't understand. He's only a cold, bloodless, abstract thing. It may be natural for him, but it isn't for us. Yes, yes, I know there are no real pleasures now, only dreams. But aren't they better than nothing? And I'll be so good. I admit I've sometimes gone too far in the past, but I promise I won't do it again. I'll give you nothing but really nice dreams, all sweet and fresh and almost innocent. You might say quite innocent." "Have I your permission?" asked the angel to the ghost. "I know it will kill me." "It won't. But supposing it did?" asked the angel. "You're right. it would be better to be dead than to live with this creature. Then I may? Go on, can't you? Get it over. Do what you like, bellowed the ghost, but ended whimpering, God help me, God help me. Following the story, C.S. Lewis shares how that ghost became substantial. That really is a telling description to me in allegory form of how we enter into the change point that God gives us. Can I wrap up with these three things? Number one, God asks us to believe His destiny for us and in His ability to get us there. Secondarily, we are confronted with a crisis of faith. We will have to make major changes. God will speak to you about an entry point. And thirdly, the final baby step of faith to enter into our destiny is to make room in our life for new commitments. In other words, you can't go on living your day-to-day the same way when God has asked to do something significant and new through your life. Luke 8:14, and as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. So, can I give you a wrap-up? The baby steps of faith are three to enter into the change point that God is asking you to embrace, His destiny. The first is I'd encourage you to pray along the line of this, Father, I trust Your destiny, though I don't see how in this world You can get me there, but I trust You. Secondarily, pray this, Father, I choose to accept the fact that there will be costly, major changes that You are pointing to as my entry point in embracing this new work in my life. And thirdly, Father, I will walk through the desert experiences of daily obedience and trust You that in this process, You are leading me through daily disciplines that take me into the fulfillment of what You are beginning in my life. I want to encourage you, take the baby steps. God is at work in your life. That is absolutely true. It is a theological fact. Secondarily, it is necessary for you to discern what He is doing now. But when you discern what He is doing, one of the things that you'll see is an entry point. I want to encourage you, number three, take the baby steps of faith to move into the entry point of change, to walk into the fulfillment of your destiny. This is Mike Oney, president of Paul Timothy Institute, encouraging you to be with us next time. We'll wrap this little series up. And I encourage you as well, head over to paultotimothy.com and take a look at two resources that we can give you. As a ministry leader, we want to make available to you a 12-course curriculum for you to mentor your ministry leaders. And secondarily, if you are a ministry leader and have a desire to establish a church-based training center in your church, we can help you do that. Head over to paultotimothy.com and take a look at these resources.